All right, thank you again for being here this morning. And if you're visiting, we're not always this weird, so give us a break, okay? But we'd like to celebrate Christmas. I know I'm getting a little bit of a late start, so if you'll listen fast, I will speak fast, and we'll get done about on time. But thank you for being here. We have been in a series over the last 9 or 10 weeks on the simple Christian life. We've been just going through some things that the Bible very simply says, key things in our Christian life. And I think the Christian life is a fairly simple life. I think the truths are fairly simple. I think we complicate things. It doesn't mean that sometimes we don't face difficulties or putting these things into practice don't bring difficulties. But when it comes to what God wants from us, it's pretty simple. It's pretty laid out for us. And so we'll be finishing up this morning. We are in Philippians chapter 4. If anything that takes any kind, that's worth any type of effort is to come to fruition, it needs to be supplied. There has to be resources behind it. I read in 1812, Napoleon was, his goal was really to take over Europe, but he wanted to go against Britain, and Russia was supposed to help them and be a part of this whole thing, and they backed out at the last minute. So he decided he would take it out on Russia, and so he got 600,000 soldiers, and decided to attack Russia. Now he didn't plan very well. He thought that it would be pretty quick. They'd get in, get out. Russia would capitulate and join their group and change it. And so his strategy was not very well put together. He thought they could basically feed themselves by foraging. Russia knew it was going to happen, so what they did is they destroyed a lot of the fields in the area where they would be coming, make sure they hit all their food resources. And really, they lost that war, and by the time it was done, of the 600,000 troops he had, only 100,000 of them survived. The problem wasn't necessarily that they lost the war because of the fighting. They lost the war because they didn't have supplies. Their supplies were cut off. The men were starving. They had to get out of there. If anything is going to be successful, you have to have resources in order for it to be successful. And that is true when it comes to Christianity and the purpose of the church and the purpose of the Lord. We're going to see that. Philippians is a book, and if you know anything about the book of Philippians, the theme of Philippians is joy, that God wants us to be joyful as Christians and to be joyful in our life. If you've read these verses as we were reading through it, if you're like, now not me, I know what the message is, but if I hear someone reading the scripture sometimes, I know you don't think like this. This is how I think. I as they're reading the scripture, I look at the scripture like, where are they going with this, right? How many of you are like that? Like, what are they going to talk about today? Well, if you read through it and you thought through it, you kind of figured out there's a little bit of talk in there about giving, meeting the needs. And that seems odd in our mindset if we don't think about it spiritually from God's perspective, because we don't think about giving as being joyful, but the fact of the matter is, Paul did not see it as losing, but he saw it as investing. In the passage, Paul is writing to commend the church at Philippi. He's thanking them for their generosity for him specifically in their time of need. Paul, particularly being under arrest, it's not like our jail system to where they're taken care of. I mean, they get health and they get food and so forth. It's not a vacation, but they're fed, they're taken care of in that way. In those times, you were not taken care of. If there wasn't somebody taking care of you while you were in prison, you could very well die or starve to death. And so Paul, as he closes the book, he thanks them for their giving specifically for him and how they had been a financial blessing. In other words, Paul had no way to take care of what he needed. He had no way to supply his own needs. And these believers took it upon themselves to provide his supply, his needs. As we have been preaching through this series, we've talked about a lot of aspects of Christianity that deal with us personally. It helps us in our Christian life. It helps us to get to where we need to be. And God works in our life, and God can do things in our life. But we can incorporate all of that, and yet as Christians, if we are still selfish in nature, none of these things are going to work. Because being a selfish individual chips away at the core of what it really means to be a Christian. Christianity should not just look at what Jesus does for me, it should look at the cause of Christ in this world and what I can do to push that forward. Very important. Let's be personal. As a church, what we accomplish in this church, what we are able to do in this church for the cause of Christ is only limited by two things. The willingness of the people in our church to serve and do some work, and the willingness of the people in our church to give to meet the supply so that we can do the work. That's very important. God has provided for his work. God always does. Where we are at today is because God has provided for us. Here's the part we don't like. Okay. God provides through his people. Now, I will say this. Over the course of this time, especially with building the building and the money we needed for the building, I could give you some instances where God provided money for us. But God provided resources for us outside of our church. But let me say this, God is never going to do that if the church is not willing to meet the needs of what we're trying to accomplish here on our own. Yeah. I think I said one time, God will make up our lack, but he won't make up our slack. And so you say, Pastor, it's Christmas. Aren't we going to talk about Jesus? We are. Jesus gave, okay? And I just want us to understand this, okay, as we go to the next thing. And you can apply this, and Paul's applying it specifically to financial resources. But there's also, when it comes to giving, it's not just finances, is it, right? We must be willing to give our time, and we must be willing to give our talents to the Lord as well. And so when we look at giving, and we understand the reason why God wants us to give, it's to supply for the needs of what Christ wants to do in this world. Our missionaries can do nothing across this world if we don't give to them.
Yep. Amen.
That's why we're starting our project, our little ministry, our Project 1040. We have all these graduates, and I hope that it goes well. We're praying and we're putting it together. We have all these graduates from our Bible colleges over in Southeast Asia, and they can't go around and raise money like the missionaries in the States do. And so someone needs to meet their needs so they can get right onto the field and do the work. And they don't need as much money as, say, one of us that go over would need. But they can't do the work. And so as we look at giving, I want us to have the right kind of mentality about it. So let me give you a few thoughts from the verses we read in the brief time we have this morning. First of all, and people have a hard time believing this one, when we look at giving, what do we need to understand? It's joyful. It's joyful. The whole book is about joy. You know, we look at when we have to give. There are some things, when I tithe or give extra money, I enjoy that. When I pay the taxes on my house, I don't enjoy it. How many of you know the houses, the taxes on the houses are due? I already have the money set aside. But you know what I do when I get that bill? And I got a bad attitude, I'm sorry. I look at the very last date that you have to send it.
Come on.
It has a due date.
Yep.
And the due date is there, but if you read underneath, it says if it's not received by this date, you get a penalty. And I'm just going to be real honest with you. I don't pay until the last day.
Yep. Me too.
Say, does that make a difference? No, it just makes me feel better. Okay? I don't understand how I buy a house and I have to pay rent on it to the government. But that's a question for another day, okay? But I'm not happy. I don't say, praise God, Uncle Sam, here you go.
Come on.
He's not buying a bus for us.
Yeah.
But you know, when I give to the, it's joyful. There's been times when people have needed things and we'll give and we'll help them. That's joyful. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35 is still true. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Right.
Christmas is, by the way, a wonderful illustration of giving, is it not?
Yep.
People give you things, and that's nice, by the way. It shows that they love you and this, that, or the other. That's great. But you know what the greater giving is when you give to somebody else. I was reading an article and a guy was talking about his daughter. He called it the donut principle, right? He said his little four-year-old daughter was playing one day and she went over to her toy box and she got a plastic donut. And she's like, I'm going to give it to dad. And she rolled, you know, she waddled over there and she gave it to dad. You know, wow, thank you for this. That is so nice of you. And he noticed how joyful she was as she walked away. Not that she received anything. She was joyful because she gave it to her dad and it pleased him. Giving is joyful. We have a hard time understanding that. We think it's hard to do. There's a guy about 10 years ago, he wrote a book. He wasn't a Christian, so what he wanted to do is he's sarcastic. So he wrote a book about living like a Christian for a year. And he wasn't a Christian. So what he did is over the course of the year, he'd find out things people do, Christians do, and he would do it and he would write about it. He wrote about like he had to listen to Christian music. He had to watch Christian entertainment. Later on in the book, he said, I knew it was coming, I had to do it. He goes, I knew I was gonna have to pick a time when I was gonna have to tithe on my salary for the month. So he said he sat down and he didn't want to do it. And he took his salary for that month and he got his 10%. And he found some, it wasn't a church, he wasn't going to church. He found some organization. He thought, I'll give my money to this organization. And he said he was doing it online. He sat there and he was struggling with it. Like, man, do I really have to do this? And then he said he hit that send button. And then he said something really weird happened. I felt good inside. He talked about how he still started a habit of giving in his life. Giving is joyful. If we don't understand that, then really we don't understand Christianity very well. Secondly, Christians giving is compassionate. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. You see, the genesis of their giving in this specific case, the beginning of this giving, was for Paul because Paul was in affliction. Paul needed someone to care about him. And here's the tough part. Paul needed someone to care about him in a financial way, right? Yep. We like the blessing part. Be ye warmed and filled. But we don't like to be the one to buy something to warm them up or something to fill them up. So their giving was an act of compassion. They saw it as caring for somebody that had a need, investing in something that was going to help others. And by the way, that is what giving at its core should be. We ought to be willing to give because, especially in a spiritual sense, and I know some of your new Christians, it's like, Pastor, what is this all about? This is next level Christianity. So we give understanding what that money's going to do and understanding who it is going to help. First of all, it's the right thing to do because God told us to do it. But it's the compassionate thing because it's what it's going to do to reach people, to help others. You say, well, Pastor, we gave to this building. What's that all about? Because we were tired of having church outside. I mean, after 15 years, enough's enough. Because the building is a tool to help people. And the fact that I wish we didn't have to have it. I wish there was a way to do it without it. But the fact of the matter is, you can't. We had to have a place to meet. But that money goes to reach people. If you give for that Christmas gift for Jesus, and that's not why I'm preaching this message. It was just up in the queue. You know, it's not just a bus. Yep. I mean, I wish it was like in the old days. When I was a new Christian up at Gethsemane, I got on a bus. It was a 60-passenger bus. We had 125 people on that thing. Come on. Yep. Say, what'd you do when it got hot? We rolled the windows out and told the kids not to jump. They didn't have load limits. We were Thursday night, was it you, Adrian, about the jeepney? I saw the jeepney and the kids are hanging out the sides and he's like, don't you wish we could do that? I'm like, I do wish we could do that, right? Buy one of those things and say, hey, we're gonna have fun today. Everybody crawl on top. Now, someone would get hurt, don't get me wrong. But it's like, you know, that's just what the government requires for us and we're gonna follow through on that. I'm not being critical because it's safer. But look, that's an investment. And by the way, thank you. Those four buses we have now, and we run them, and we pack them out to the government specified, you know. I mean, we're having over 200, and that's just riders. We don't count the workers in that load. There's workers in there. But you know, we're investing in people.
Right.
You saw some of them.
Yep.
Brother Arvalo, staff member. We have missionaries on the mission field, bus kids. Someone went by their house. And so it's an act. When we're giving not just to give. We're giving before because of what it's going to accomplish.
Amen.
And so that's very important. It's very, very compassionate. And it's the right thing to do. Nextly, it's personal. Look at verse 15. He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated. The word communicate, I should have told you this, I'm sorry, means communicating through giving, meeting needs, okay? No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. See, Paul's talking to this group of believers because they saw the need and they took it on as their personal duty to meet the needs of Paul.
Amen.
As he struggled. Giving, in a sense, is a very personal thing. If a person's going to give for whatever, whether you're giving your time, whether you're giving your talents, or whether you're giving your treasures, it's a decision you need to make. And then it's a commitment you need to make. And then it's a determination you need to make that you're going to follow through with it. Nothing can be accomplished for Christ without people and without resources. And you know what we do? You know the verse, here am I, Lord, send me? We like to change it just a little bit. Here am I, Lord, send him. See, oh yeah, I'm all for that as long as somebody else helps. I'm all for Christmas gift for Jesus as long as somebody else buys it. And I wish, you know, I hear these churches once, and they're like, you know, somebody saw us online and donated $500,000. Apparently, they're not watching our YouTube channel. When we were building the building, it was an organization, and they give money to churches building buildings, like $500,000. And I sent them three or four, you know, like, hey, can you give to us? They're like, no. Then one of the local pastors came to preach in our college chapel. He goes, this group just gave us $500,000. And I'm like, you go home. Organizations contact us. They ask us for money. But look, it's personal. And that just makes sense, does it not? If it's our church, that we should meet the needs of our church.
Yes, sir.
And God wants you to be a part of it. Why do we do that? And I won't spend time on it because we don't have a lot of time. It's because we are stewards of everything that God gave us. Then next, it's faithful. It's faithful. For even in Thessalonica, verse 16, ye sent once and again.
Yep.
See, it wasn't like one of these conscience cleansers, right? I mean, you go to Starbucks, and I don't know if what they're doing now, but like, do you want to give extra money to buy coffee for the troops? You go, by the way, everybody now, you know, do you want to round up? Do you want to tip? I'm like, I can't tip everybody, okay? I mean, I have to tip the government every time you buy something, but it's like everybody wants money from you, right? And sometimes it's not, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think years ago, Starbucks did do something for the troops, and I think I'm like, yeah, buy the troops something. But we do that to, you know, Santa Claus is out, right? The Salvation Army, you know, and people will give to that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I remember years ago, I was with the kids, and I took my wife, and the kids were out shopping, and you know, they were buying stuff, and I had enough. So I went, I'm not gonna sit in the front while they check out. I'm done. So I went down, I sat down to the red next to the, there was the red bucket right there. And obviously, I think Santa Claus was on break. So I just sat next to it, I'm waiting for the kids, and someone walked by and like put a dollar in, and they looked at me and said, I am so sorry, that's all I have. I'm like, that's okay, God bless you. And then I thought, hey, if I'm gonna sit here, let's just see if we can like, and if people are walking by, I'm like, hey. And they're, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, they're giving money. And then what I did is I took my 20% and left the rest. You know, but people do that. They'll cleanse their conscience. But you know the kind of giving that makes a difference? The kind of difference that says, I'm not just in this for the one time. I'm gonna give and be faithful. Now, if you're a Christian, I'm not going to teach on it. God talks about tithing, and I'm sure you understand that. But God wants us to be faithful, not just every now and then to throw a couple dollars into this project or that project. When it comes to our missions, listen, we do faith promise, and we commit to give a certain amount monthly so we can support this missionary going to the other side of the world that can't work over there even if they wanted to. They're counting on us. But we can't just say, well, I'll just give $5, and we're making a commitment to them to give them money every single month. Faithfulness. Also giving, it's needy. He says in verse 16 again, unto my necessity. Now listen, necessity is a need that's based on an essential item for a duty that's related to business. In other words, it is something for somebody so they can do the job that they are supposed to do. That's what they were doing for Paul. Our giving is in obedience to God and for God, but it's also for fulfilling his mission for the church. It just makes sense. If this is our church, you know who's going to take care of the needs? Us. Us. And by the way, you know what the good thing about that is? We also partake in the blessings. We also partake in the reward and the things that God does here. And I hope you understand. He said, well, Pastor, the Bible tells us we shouldn't just give for need. I understand that, but there's a difference. This is a need to relate it to something that's related to me and for something that I love, right? If you have a family member and they're in need and they needed your help and you could help them, say, well, I would give and I would help you, but I'm not going to give just because it's a need. Sometimes needs aren't necessities. But some needs are necessities. And so we need to understand that. I'm hurrying here because we're a little bit late. Let's get to a couple things and we'll be done. It's also very fruitful. Look what he said, verse 17. Paul said, not because I desire a gift. Now again, Paul's speaking scripture. So this is the inspiration of God. God is speaking this. He says, but not because I desire a gift. Paul says, I'm not talking to you because I want more. Paul wasn't like that. Paul trusted God, and he knew God one way or another is going to provide his need through somebody, through something. But he's saying, I'm telling you this, not necessarily because I wanted you to keep giving. That's not what I'm doing here. But he says this, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Yep. He says, I want you to get the rewards of what you're giving to. We call that what? ROI, return on investment. Everybody's talking about Bitcoin, right? It's $100,000. There was probably 10 years ago, you could have bought them for a buck. I wonder if anybody did that, like, right? You know, I bought $100 worth. Come see me. We need to talk. But can I just tell you something? There's always a return on investment in anything that you give for the Lord. We got, you know, in the church this size, with all that's going on, do you know there's like an army of workers that get everything ready?
Yep.
Say, it's quiet in here, kind of.
Come on.
We have children's ministry, and praise the Lord, we have a nursery.
Yeah.
I love children. I just don't love for them to be in the service. Amen? Those little babies, about that time that something is, Satan pinches them, and they start crying, or they want a bottle or something, or diaper needs to be changed. But, you know, our buses, say, oh, man, the buses are great. You know, they have to get here early. You have to have someone to drive that thing. They go out on Saturday. They just don't drive to the neighborhood. You can't just drive to the neighborhood, see a kid running on the street, so go grab that kid. That's called kidnapping.
Yeah, come on.
Are you with me? They go visit the families, and they introduce themselves, and they introduce our church, and get the parents' permission to bring them. Everything, there's Sunday school classes all over this place. Spanish ministry will be here in a little bit. Look, there are people that are working, and can I just tell you something? It's not in vain. God is going to reward us one day because we're doing it, not because we want a name, not because of anything else, other than the fact that we're just doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there'll be fruit to your account. Every penny we've invested will be rewarded in heaven. God sees what we're doing. You say, well, Pastor, well, you know, when I give something, I gave $10 towards this, that's all I had. That might be more than someone that gave $1,000. And I'm not trying to chisel your money out of you. I'm trying to teach you something here. Sometimes we get rid of something, we give something away. It's like, I lost that. No, you didn't. You invested it in something eternal. Yes. And it's going to pay an eternal reward. It's also, look at verse number 18, it's also sacrificial. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Epaphroditus was the man who brought the gift to Paul. An odor of sweet smell. He's going back to the old, he's giving a picture of the Old Testament sacrifices and how God saw the sacrifices. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. He's seeing our sacrifice in anything that we give to the Lord, time, talent, treasure, you can name it. He says he's seeing it the same as those sacrifices that were brought to the Lord in the Old Testament that God said that he was well pleased with. But they were a sacrifice. Sometimes when it comes to things that we're giving, and I'm not just talking about money, although that's the gist of it, but it's not just money. We sacrifice. We sacrifice time. We sacrifice this. We sacrifice why? For the greater good, for the spiritual good. And God always uses that. It's not always the amount. In the 1880s, there was a Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia. It was an older building, church building back then, and it was very full. And a little girl went there, and she couldn't get in. It was they were actually over capacity, and they could only take so many. And the pastor happened to see her, and I think he brought her in. But he told her, he goes, "One day, young lady, we're going to have a church that's big enough so that everybody that wants to come can be here." This little girl took it upon herself. She heard the pastor. She started putting her pennies aside. About a year or so later, she got sick. And this little girl, it was a disease that she couldn't fight, and she eventually died. And her mom came to the pastor and said, "Listen, this little girl, her name was Hattie Mae, this little girl," she goes, "my daughter was saving money because she heard you talk about one day needing a new church building, and she wanted to be a part of it. And she saved 57 cents. Now, that's not a lot of money, but in 1880s, it is more money than we do now. You know what that pastor did? That pastor took those things, and he had them converted to pennies, and he went to the church, he told the story, and he had people pledge to buy the pennies to raise money to build a new church building, and eventually they did. And eventually that church became a college, Temple University, which at that time was training Christians. And they also build a hospital. But the genesis of the whole project was that little girl's 57 cents that spurred the pastor to do something with what she had given. Sacrifice isn't about how much you give. Sacrifice is about what you give up. And God wants us to be willing to sacrifice for him. I won't go in this. I'll just mention this last one. Verse 19, he says it's renewable. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We take that verse sometimes and we take it and it's true. We say, you know, I'm struggling, but God's going to meet my need. But what is the context here? The context is that God is going to meet the need of those that are willing to give. See, when we give to the Lord, we're not losing it. God's going to take care of us. Does that mean we're going to be rich, Pastor? No. That doctrine's not in the Bible. I wish it was. It'd be easier to get giving, amen? But it's not. No. But you know what? God's keeping track. That's why when we give anything, it's a matter of faith. It's a matter of what I'm giving is worth giving. If I'm giving money, it's worth giving because I know God's going to take care of me. If I'm giving my time, I know it's valuable. If I'm giving this, I know it's worthy. And it's not worthy for anything else other than who we are giving to, as it says in verse 20. "Now unto God and our Father be God, glory forever and ever. Amen." What am I saying? I'm saying this. It's Christmas time, and it's a time of giving, and this isn't a Christmas message. But let me just say this. If there is one thing you need to develop in your life, all of us need to develop, it is a spirit of giving and generosity. Because if not, you will become a miser, and a miser is from the root word miserable. In a person who is selfish, their life revolves only around them. They never lift a finger to reach or help anybody else. They'll never give a penny towards anything outside of something that is not directly affecting them. And let me just say this, that is a miserable way to live. But there is joy, there is blessing, and there's honor to God when we sacrifice of ourselves and our resources to help God's purpose to be fulfilled in our area and around this world. So the question is, are we involved? Is that something I'm involved with? I didn't grow up in a Christian home at all. Never went to church. Didn't go to church until I was in high school. When I started going to church regularly when I became a Christian, I'd probably only been to church 5 times in my life. No one ever preached on it, but I just knew immediately, like, I'm supposed to give. And unlike most teenagers, I dropped out of high school early, so I had a job. And I was making pretty good money. But I'm like, I'm just supposed to give. And you know what? I just started right off the bat, and I do not regret it for a minute. I'm glad I fought that battle up front. Because it's been a joy in my life. And I know it'll be a joy in yours. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed, just for 1 minute. I hope you understand, I'm not trying to... This isn't a message to try to chisel every penny out of you. No, it's a principle from Scripture. A principle from Scripture. That God wants to work in our lives. God wants to do a great work, but He needs His people to help to do it. And God wants us to have a right spirit. God wants us to be a giving people. He knows the joy that's associated with it. He knows the fruit and the reward that comes from it. When we show these every Thursday night, if you don't come, I encourage you to come. We have Thursday night Bible study. We'll show a video at the beginning of the service of some of the missionaries that we support. They send a little 3 or 4 minute video showing us what they're doing, talking about people they're reaching. And when I look up there and see that, I know this. I'm a part of that. Yep. I've been giving for years. Some of that fruit up there, and I'm not doing it, but some of that fruit's mine because I've invested in these people. I've invested in these workers. Maybe you're here this morning and it's like, Pastor, I came to church and I think all churches talk about is giving and that's all. And you just nailed it. No, we don't talk about that all the time, trust me. But you're here for a purpose. And let me explain this to you. You know why we give? Because Jesus Christ gave to us. He gave His only begotten, He gave His Son, He gave His life. He died on the cross for our sins. If you're here this morning, there's a gift that God has for you if you haven't taken it, and that gift is eternal life. Here's a question I want you to think about for a second. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I have some doubt, but that's something I'd like to know for sure. With nobody looking around, if that's you, would you just put your hand up real quick and I'll see that and acknowledge it. We'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? Anybody at all? Can we stand together this morning? We're gonna have an invitation. And if you want, you can come down to the altar and do business with God. Let me say this. If you come down, it's not because you're selfish or you're not giving. I'm not saying that, right? But maybe you didn't understand. Maybe some of you need to give of your time. Pastor, I tithe and I give money, but I would never drive a bus or work on a bus or be in the choir. No, God wants you to serve Him. Maybe that's the step for you. Piano's gonna play. God spoke to you at all. Why don't you come?